1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Yes, it's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online, hubcityradio.com. Plus, with the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, you can watch the episode on Fox Sports Aberdeen's Facebook page. See, we got two guys in studio. Again, I'm Matt McClure. We're joined by Ryan Martin here. Tukes will be back with us tomorrow on the show, so looking forward to that as well. But Ryan, thanks a lot for coming on, taking some time here on this Monday. How you doing, man? How was your weekend?
Doing good, doing good. It's big sports weekend, right?
Yeah, huge sports weekend. I mean,
great weekend.
Final Four, and we'll get into that during the jump here in just a bit. Alex Ovechkin making history in the NHL, 895. I was keeping an eye on that. Minnesota Twins lost 2 out of 3 versus Houston, and just a brutal, absolutely brutal loss yesterday. I know it's early in the season, but to be blowing a 7-1 lead, definitely, certainly tough. You had that going on. Plus, how about those Aberdeen Wings? We're going to be joined live in studio with the voice of the Wings, Cy Ebenuk, and he saw some really nice games there at the Odie Ice Center. 2-1 win for the Wings on Friday, 7-2 on Saturday versus a team in Minot. And we'll certainly talk to Cy about this. They've struggled with here the last – since I've been here, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I remember last time I talked to you about the Wings. That's what kind of baffled me about this league, right?
Yeah.
Like, any team can turn it on and be like, we got to win a couple games and beat, you know, a good team. You know what? Minot was in their second, I think.
Yep.
Right in the standings, and a couple big wins for the Wings, and they played well over the weekend.
That's... Yeah. Seven goals against that Minot team. Really impressive. Nikolai Tishkevich had 2. You heard one during the sports update. Cy had a great call. He called his first goal a twisted wrister. I like that. Yeah, that was awesome. A twisted wrister.
I love it.
Yeah. So and also in the game on Friday, I believe it was Jibber Cool had an awesome goal. It was kind of off the faceoff. The puck was just kind of bouncing, and he just like one-timed it into the net. Like, it was bouncing.
Mid-air,
like a knuckle puck almost.
Sure.
And just flipped it in past the goalie. So probably, if you're asking me, maybe the best, and we'll talk to Cy, like we said, in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program, probably their best series all year, 7 straight Ws, and now they're +5 in that 4-5 spot. I believe the top 4 teams make the playoffs, and when you're +5 with only 2 games left, you pretty much got it wrapped up and make the playoffs. But, I mean, there were St. Cloud and Aberdeen, they were battling there a lot of the season. The Wings went on that win streak, and St. Cloud's kind of dived down a little bit. And, you know, the Wings are in prime position here with the final regular season series coming up this weekend.
And they play St. Cloud and Watertown, right, on Thursday? Isn't there a game on Thursday? Wings could possibly get in without even playing on Friday.
Yes.
So they could be in good shape even during the game.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. St. Cloud maybe plays on Thursday. Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Yeah, so I'll double-check the schedule on that. But the Wings play the North Iowa Bulls here at home at the ODI Center Friday and Saturday night. We'll have that those matchups, of course, on 94.1 The Rock. And if you want Winx tickets, make sure to stop by our offices. Best price on Winx tickets in town. And again, Cy Evanunk will be joining us live in studio. We're going to talk some Wings. We're going to talk some NHL. Obviously, the Great Eight got his 895 most goals in NHL history. Plus, Cy's a big college hockey fan. Frozen Four is in St. Louis. We're going to be talking a little bit about that as well with Cy here on the Sports Hub on FSA, Daily Sports Talk Show, every weekday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And let's toss it skyward here for the jump here this morning. And Ryan, like you mentioned to start the show, really great sports weekend. One of the best. You have Final Four. We talked about what's going on in hockey. NBA is going on right now. And
Women's National Championship.
Women's National Championship. I mean,
that was a little shocking.
I got to say, I was shocked. I looked at the final score. What was it, 82-59? Did you see that coming?
I thought it was going to be a close game, but it didn't turn out that way.
No, I was shocked at that score. I mean, UConn, death taxes and UConn winning the national championship, it seems like, right? I mean, it's either South Carolina or UConn making the Final Four and winning it.
Yeah, there's two of the best programs on the women's side, hands down, right? But, yeah, definitely a great performance by Paige Beckers and yeah, amazing performance.
Yeah, so you had that yesterday. Saturday night, you had the men's Final Four in San Antonio. And I'll tell you what, probably the best Final Four we've had in quite some time. I've seen it's been in the argument. Hey, is this the best Final Four of all time?
Yeah.
I wasn't around in the 90s. There was probably a lot of great Final Fours that I'm missing. But maybe in my lifetime, that I can remember sitting down and watching and just being very invested into both the games. But I want to talk a little bit more of the nightcap game, Duke and Houston. And Duke, this is probably one of the best Duke teams of all time with Cooper Flagg and what they were able to do all year. And they're up by 14 points with under 10 minutes to go in the second half. And they score one field goal. The final 10:30, and Houston makes an incredible comeback and beats them. Did you watch this game? What were your thoughts on this?
I think Duke was exposed a little bit. I don't think they've been in enough games that down to the wire to be able to execute it down the stretch, and it caught up to them.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm thinking the same thing, and they mentioned it on the broadcast. Houston's played in a lot of tight second half wire games that right. have gone down to the absolute final second. And we talk a lot about being battle-tested, and there's no discussion. Duke is a battle-tested team. But there's a difference between whooping somebody, even if they're good, and being in a very close game. And yeah. they just didn't play enough of them. And that final shot, listening to the game, and they're saying that was a great final shot for Flag. What was your thoughts on that?
I did get a good look. I mean, in the middle of the lane, mm-hmm. fading away a little bit, but definitely one that he's hit all season, I think.
Now, I saw this from Odd Shark on Twitter. Last night, or Saturday night, Duke had higher field goal percentage than Houston, more free throw attempts, fewer turnovers, more steals, and still lost. They are the first team in March Madness history to lose a game while leading in these categories. Previously, 335-0.
Oh, no.
You see, that's the great thing about X when an epic collapse happened.
Yeah.
Because you get somebody who gets these numbers
exposed.
For you.
Exposed.
Yeah. And I just – I got a problem with how they handled that press.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were they doing? They couldn't inbound the ball.
Right. And all the inbounds were right in front of the inbounder. You know what I mean? They were getting trapped instantly. 2 foot inbounds, you know. So.
My thing is like, coach, you got to get a different inbounder in there.
Something.
He didn't. The guy looked lost. I hate to say it. He was forcing it to whoever. He had to call a timeout. I thought the game was over after the technical.
Right.
Do you see the technical when the kid literally just
reached
it, knocked the ball out?
Yeah.
I find that one hard to believe that they lost. That's. You know, people are talking about how great the comeback was for Houston, and I'm not taking anything away from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
What they were able to do, they've been in those kind of games. That Sharp, Emmanuel Sharp, 21 for Houston,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just took the game over. How he can get to the basket is incredible. But I'm looking at this more so from the Duke perspective. Just an epic collapse, and I just can't believe they lost this game. It was almost, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, Duke's got it. We're going to see Duke, Florida. Oh, Houston might come back. Is Duke actually going to lose this game? Well, that was my thought.
Well, and the coach was, you know, after the game, he says, well, you know, in the huddle, I was saying it the whole time, you know, be patient. You know, Cooper Flagg's not going to beat us by himself. Oh, yeah, hindsight is 20/20, but I tell you, because you're in that scenario, you're down that many, I don't think you're telling your team to be patient, right? You're doing a full court press. You're trying to get every steal you can, and then you mix in the one-on-one.
Yes.
So the added aspect that we don't necessarily at the high school level get to see.
Anymore.
You miss the front end of that one, and all of a sudden, oh, no.
And they fouled the right guy. The guy they fouled was under 70%. They didn't foul Knepel, who's close to 90, or Flagg, who is in the mid-80s. Right. So they fouled the right guy. He missed it. And then am I in love with the foul call on Flagg on the rebound? No. But, hey, it is what it is. And give credit to that Houston lefty who made the free throws. He was like 60-something percent, and he made the free throws.
Right.
Cashed them home.
Yep.
So – who do you like? You like Florida or you like Houston? I think here's my thing on this. It's going to be very difficult for Houston, in my opinion. You have such an emotional win, and then, okay, here's Florida tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, just the rush and coming back. I think that's going to be a factor. I got Florida. I do. I think the inside-out presence that they have and then the guys that can hit shots on the perimeter. But, yeah, they're very similar teams.
Like, really similar.
Very. So it's a weird year. I mean, all four number ones made it. You know, then you got tight games, both semis. It'll be an interesting game. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, first time since 2008 when all number one teams made it. And we had a great final, if you remember. That was Mario Chalmers for Kansas. Mm-hmm. They beat Derrick Rose and John Calipari in Memphis. Remember how Memphis was good?
Yeah, and you talked about the Final Fours and how you rate them. It's so hard for me to do that because your passion level as a fan, as you grew up, changes.
Oh, right? No doubt about it. When you were younger, you might be super into it.
In the 90s, it's hard to beat those Final Fours back then.
Exactly.
But they're probably just as good, maybe biased.
I'm looking forward to that matchup tonight, by the way, Florida and Houston. Mm-hmm. Part two of the jump here, we talked a little with Alex Ovechkin to start the show. He broke the record, 895 goals, but this tweet really cracked me up. I saw this yesterday. The last time the Sabres made the playoffs, Alex Ovechkin was 594 goals away from breaking the record.
Really? Oh, no.
How funny is that? Last time the Buffalo Sabres made the playoffs, Alex Ovechkin, 594 goals away from breaking the record. I mean, that's just that's why you love Twitter sometimes.
Yeah, you got to leave Sabres. Come on, man.
Yeah, but that we'll talk to Cy a little bit more about that. 895 beating Wayne Gretzky's record. Plus, Wild, they're in the playoff mix. The East playoff mix is Wild in the wild card. We're going to be talking all with Cy coming up here in just a moment on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Keep it tuned to the Sports Hub. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online, hubcityradio.com. Streaming with the Facebook feed as well. You can watch the episode here today, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen, Matt McClure, Ryan Martin, and you can see him in studio, voice of the Aberdeen Wings there, Cy Abinuck. Cy, how you doing? Appreciate you coming on here today.
Absolutely. I'm having a pretty good morning here, fellas. Thank you for having me on. I think we're going to have to call this the snake pit now. It's McClure running the show here today, the Cobra. So we got to say I'm in the snake pit here today on this Monday morning.
Hey, I appreciate that, Cy. And obviously a pretty fun weekend for you out there at the ODI Center. You saw some pretty good hockey there, 7-2 on Saturday. They score the first four goals there, but Friday night, wow, what a game-ending goal that was, huh?
Yeah, it really was. If anyone hasn't heard or seen the call from Friday night's game-winning goal by Jibber Cool on the NAHL Facebook page or Twitter or X page, whichever you prefer, go and check that out. It's I lost my mind on that goal call. Right off the face-off, Wilson somehow is able to bat the puck over to Cole, and he's able to tap it in for that game-winning goal. Wings scoring two goals in a matter of 57 seconds at the end of the first period Friday to come away with the 2-1 win. Wings defense solid the rest of the way through. Damon Cunningham that night making 31 saves and then also backstopping the Wings to the win Saturday too. So a fantastic weekend by everyone involved. It really, this weekend was a statement series for the Wings, not only with them having to win in order to inch closer to clinching a playoff spot, we're only 1 point away from doing that, but it was just a complete team win both Friday and Saturday night across the board. Probably their best two games that they've played the entire season.
Yeah, sounds exciting. My first question is, being around these guys, right? Like, they're athletes, they know pressure games, and they know when they got to get locked in. And I'm sure hockey players get locked in. What's that like, Si?
I tell you what, I was at the Wings Award banquet last night at the Yildiz Shrine Center, and head coach Scott Langer gave a pretty impassionate speech. If you weren't able to attend, the full presentation is on the Aberdeen Wings Facebook page. You can go back and watch all of it. But the stuff that Coach Langer said last night, these boys have battled adversity all year long. We started off the season on an incredible win streak, and we got hit with such a big amount of injuries. And unfortunately, at that particular time of the season, we just couldn't find a way to get out of the losing. Mm-hmm. And when you have so many injuries to so many important star players on the team, it hurts, and it hurts really bad. And Langer even said last night, too, so many different players coming in and out of the lineup all year long. About three or four players even coming into his office just saying, hey, I'm going home. I'm done. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And to be honest, that's kind of a shifting kind of culture in sports nowadays. You know, that shift of the team mentality to it's about me. Mm-hmm. And Langer said it perfectly last night. For this group of 25, not even boys, this group of 25 young men to stick with Smack, to stick with assistant coach Eric Hershot, to go through all the pain of those injuries, go through all the pain of the losing, to come back, and now we've won seven straight games, sweeping our in-state rival Watertown last weekend, absolutely smacking them on home ice on Friday night on the Friday night matchup. And Smack said it last night too. Watertown hasn't beat us all year long. Perfect 8-0 in the regular season, 10-0 if you include the two exhibition games in the preseason. So for this group of 25 incredible young men to stick with Smack and Hirsch, mm-hmm. to now be on the cusp of, again, 1 point from clinching a playoff spot, absolutely huge.
Sounds like there's a little bit of a rivalry going on there. Watertown, Aberdeen, a little bit?
Well, you know, just a little. You know, I can say that those games can get pretty heated, and that's not even just at the NAHL level. There's plenty of history between Aberdeen and Watertown in athletic competitions. We're all too familiar with that one, aren't we, Matt?
Yeah, for sure.
It's all friendly.
Nothing major. Everything's fine.
Si Avanuk joining us on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. I mentioned it in the first segment. Did you feel like that was the best series they've played all season this past weekend, in your perspective?
100%. And just from the get-go, Friday and Saturday night, from the drop of the puck, you could tell that the Wings wanted it. You could tell how important this series was to them, especially being back on home ice. You know, the past few weekends.
But on the road.
Exactly. Being in Austin, Minnesota, there was a game in Watertown for St. Patrick's Day on a Monday night. Then in Forest Lake against the Mallards, there was a span where the Wings played 5 games in 9 days.
Wow.
That's a lot, especially to ask for, you know, a group of, you know, between 16 and 20 years old young men. that's a lot of ice time in about a week and a half span there. But Wings have been able to hold it together, come up with 7 straight, and again, this weekend against Minot being crucial with having to clinch a playoff spot. But just from the drop of the puck Friday and Saturday night, you could just tell that the Wings were on their A game, and Minot didn't know what to do the entire weekend. Minot did get on the board first Friday night, about 4.5 minutes into the first period. But from that moment, the Wings just took over the entire weekend. Minot was completely flustered. They didn't know how to respond. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, even in the Saturday night matchup, they switched goalies to start. And I was a little curious, like, well, why would they exactly do that? And it didn't give them the momentum that they were expecting. Minot did not know how to react, and the Wings took advantage. They did what they had to do. They took care of business on home ice. They didn't worry about the scoreboard watching what St. Cloud was doing. Luckily, they dropped the shootout game against Watertown on Friday night, helping us out a little bit there. Thank you, Watertown. But
game's Thursday, right? Huge game Thursday night, isn't there?
Yes, yes. So the Norsemen play 3 games this coming weekend. Wings only with 2 against the North Iowa Bulls. Again, Wings on home ice this weekend against the North Iowa Bulls Friday and Saturday night. You can catch game live on 94.1 The Rock. Puck drop at 7:15. We go live for pregame at 7 o'clock. And Teddy Bear Toss also on Friday night as well. So be sure to go come out to the Oli, bring your teddy bears, throw those babies on the ice after the Wings score their first goal. Let those teddies fly. But anyway.
I picture you as a guy passing out a lot of teddy bears.
So. Oh, of course. Yes. No, you got to get everyone involved. It's an incredible atmosphere there at the Oli when those things fly. It's really a fun time.
Yeah, for sure. And so, St. Cloud, can you kind of talk a little bit about how the clinching works?
Yes. So, we need one more point to clinch. If St. Cloud does lose against the Mallards Thursday, we do officially clinch a playoff spot. We have a 5-point cushion on the Norsemen right now for that fourth and final playoff spot.
So, we need the Mallards now. We like the Mallards.
We like the Mallards this weekend. We do. Yes. So, Wings fans, you are Mallards fans, at least on Thursday night. And if the result doesn't go the way that we want, we just need one win against the Bulls here this weekend to secure that final spot in the Central Division.
Ty Avenuch joining us, Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Wings there in the 4th spot, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. And in kind of the playoffs, when you get to that, you know, late in the season, this kind of hockey, you can kind of throw the records out of the window, right? I mean, obviously, Bismarck, 92 points, Austin 85, Minot's got 81. You just beat Minot, but it seems to me when you're playing your best hockey late in the season, they probably got all kinds of confidence here moving forward.
Absolutely, Matt, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because head coach Scott Linger mentioned that in his speech last night at the Wings Award Banquet. We're playing the best hockey at the best time of the year when we absolutely need it. It's good to start off the year strong and everything, but to rebound after the injuries and all of the losing that we suffered in the middle part of the year and how much of a struggle it was for everyone involved, not just the players and the coaches, but, you know, the rest of the coaching staff, the fans, you know, everyone else top to bottom in the building, you know. Losing ain't fun. It puts a damper on things.
Winning cures all.
Yeah, yes, it does. Amen to that. Amen to that. But absolutely, with 7 straight wins, playing the best hockey at the most important part of the year, it's absolutely crucial. And yes, the boys absolutely have a whole lot of confidence right now. A lot of smiles on the guys' faces last night.
It's got to be excited. Oh,
100%, 100%. How can you not get juiced up for going into the playoffs? And like you said, Matt, you can throw those records out the window as soon as the postseason starts. We haven't had a lot of great games against Bismarck this year. Again, haven't clinched that playoff spot yet, but that's who the Wings would be facing in the first round, you know, if and when we do clinch here. Don't want to foreshadow, don't want to jinx anything.
For sure.
Still a lot of hockey to play, but...
Sure.
It's looking that way.
Yes, absolutely. But... like you said, you can throw all those records out the window. We'll potentially see the Bobcats here in Bismarck next week.
Tell you what, Cy, I can sense your passion, buddy. I love it. You're doing a great job. I mean, I tune into the games. I love to tune in, and we like to critique each other, right?
Yeah.
Each other's biggest fans. And,
oh, of course.
And, I'm yours, man. You're doing a great job, buddy.
Thank you. I really do appreciate you, Ryan. Really means a lot. And before we go off to another break here, I do want to thank you, everyone, for all of your kind words and all of your support. I couldn't do this without all of you. I couldn't do this without all my wonderful coworkers here at Hub City Radio, who I've learned so much from. You, Matt, you, Ryan, Tukes.
It's great.
Even Jay, please keep continuing sending your thoughts and prayers for Jake Klonkenecht as he continues to recover. But I just appreciate all of your guys' support from here at Hub City Radio, all far out and beyond here in Aberdeen, and everyone associated with the Aberdeen Wings. I can't thank you all enough.
Si Havanuck joining us here at Fox Sports Aberdeen. One more before we take a break. I want to stick on the wing side of things. It seems to me Cool, Bulgakov, Moxham, Lilzen, these guys are really stepping up their game, that top four. I mean, you look at Cool, he's leading the team in points with 47. Moxham's really been picking up his game as well.
Yes, Cool, Bulgakov, Moxham, even throw in a new late addition to the roster, Ryder Many Gray Horses as well, who has quickly become a fan favorite here in Aberdeen. All these guys that we've mentioned, I would say in the past month, they've really, really stepped their game up. And those, honestly, I would say are the biggest leaders on the team, especially on the offensive side. You know, they've realized that, hey, boys, we're not exactly where we need to be right now. We got to pick this thing up, and we got to try to push ourselves into the postseason. And their play on the ice is absolutely showing that. Jibber Cool with a big-time goal Friday night. Had a lot of assists on Saturday night, too. I believe he had a couple assists there also in the Saturday game. Just an all-around great team performance, but all those players that we mentioned, Bulgakov, Moxham, Ryder Many Gray Horses, just on and on down the list. Those players have had a fantastic stretch here in the past month.
The crowd out there, they know good hockey. You know, and I think they can recognize that. And just tell, can you talk about that? What's the fan base been like? Hey, pressure games
here,
down.
Especially here lately.
Yeah.
Well, as public address announcer Mike Wee says after every game, as the Wings come to center ice to salute the best fans in all of hockey, no words ring truer than that. I've been coming to Wings games for a long time. I would say the second year of their existence is when I really started coming regularly to games. I was a season ticket holder for quite a few years. Even when I was in high school, I was still going to games, and they asked me to help out in the for the game day staff and everything. And just over the years, I've just seen the crowd support this team, the town of Aberdeen support this team. It really is second to none. Doesn't matter the record of the team, the time of the year, that building is always packed. They're always making noise. Everyone with their cowbells screaming at the top of the lungs.
Loyal customers.
Loyal to a fault. Yep. And without this passionate fan base here in Aberdeen, none of this would be possible. So thank you to all of the fans who come out and support the Aberdeen Wings, home and on the road. There's plenty of fans who even flock down to games, and some of our games are, you know, 6-7 hours away.
Sure.
Down in Austin, Minnesota, or North Iowa, in Mason City, Iowa. You know, it's
the jerseys will come walking in, huh?
Oh, absolutely. These fans, and I say this in the nicest way possible, but our fans are nuts, and I love it. I love the Wings fan base. You guys are passionate, and you're the exact reason why I bring the same amount of passion to our broadcast. It really is a fun time at the ODI Center.
We're going to step aside here on the Sports Hub. We'll have more with Si Havanuck. We'll hit on some of the professional side of things. We'll hit on some college hockey. Si's a big Frozen Four guy. That's getting underway this weekend there in St. Louis. We'll talk a little bit about that more with Si here on the Sports Hub on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online, hubcityradio.com. Matt McClure, Ryan Martin, Si Havanuck joining us live in studio. Talked a little Wings there in the first segment. Second segment here with Si, big hockey fan. He's following a lot of the NHL stuff, a lot of the Frozen Four. Obviously, they had the regional there, a week or two ago, and one was in Fargo, which is I've been to at the Shields Arena. Not this year, but a couple years ago I went. And, so we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. But, Si, the big news in all of hockey, and really all sports, was Alex Ovechkin passing Wayne Gretzky, 895 goals. We were talking a little bit off the air. Ryan brought it up. Just kind of cool how the NHL did it. Like, he scored the goal, and then the celebration afterwards I thought was pretty cool. It wasn't just, hey, we're going back to the game.
No, I really like the fact that they did that. Considering this was a record that most people didn't think would be broken ever.
I saw an interview where Ovechkin said in 2016 that they asked him, hey, do you think you could break it? And he was like stuttering, I don't think so. And here we are almost 10 years later.
This past couple of years, he's definitely faced some adversity. Even earlier this year, breaking a leg, and he still somehow scored 40-plus goals, I think 42 now on the season for Ovechkin. And, yeah, breaking that record, he's now at 895 career-wise, just passing Gretzky yesterday. And, again, just a huge moment in hockey. I have a buddy of mine who I used to work with out at Minerva's. He was even messaging me. I was in church yesterday, so I didn't see Ovechkin score this live. But he was, and he was watching as they did the on-ice ceremony immediately after he scored. Had Ovechkin talking his family out there, and even the Islanders players were off the bench, you know, shaking hands and congratulating him. He said that he had a tear in his eye, my buddy did, watching that. And he's not even the biggest hockey fan. So that really put it into perspective for me. Like you said, I'm a big hockey fan. I know how big this is. But in the grand scale of things, like, no one thought this record would be broken ever. And now people, even outside of the game of hockey, where most people wouldn't really care less, they're actually paying attention to this. And it was pretty cool to see him on the Grade 8 chase.
Another one of those generational things, Matt. You know what I mean? I have a hard time going against anything Wayne Gretzky.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
This Gretzky guy, it was all about Gretzky. And that, you know, he's sliding across the ice on one knee.
Yep.
Punk fist bump. But I think it's great for the sport, right? You records are made to be broken, and just how gracious he was. And, you know, several guys talk about, you know, Gretzky and the advocate he is for hockey. And you need guys like that, I think. You know, it's one of those sports that needs the pro guys to be an advocate for the sport all the way down at multiple levels, I think.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the biggest reasons why the big trade happened, you know, way back in the day with Gretzky going from the Edmonton Oilers to the LA Kings. You know, that had the biggest growth aspect of hockey in the U.S. it could possibly have. Like, just think for a moment if Gretzky never got traded from Edmonton. He stayed with the Oilers his entire career.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
Think about what that would do to the sport of hockey here in the U.S. It wasn't popular at all. As popular until Gretzky came along. And now Kings have two Stanley Cups. The Ducks have won one. Sharks still looking for their first, but I mean, there's three pro hockey teams, three NHL teams in the state of California.
Where it's hot all the time.
Where it's hot all the time. There's two NHL hockey teams in Florida.
Yeah.
And they're the two most dominant teams in the sport right now.
Yep.
With Tampa and Florida. So it's the profound impact that Gretzky's had on the game with that trade, and him actually wanting to come down to the States because he knew how big of an impact it was,
mm-hmm.
it would have here in America. And now with Ovi breaking his record, I mean, it's a pretty big sport over in Russia, but just think of now young kids looking and seeing Ovi break that record, and they're like, now I want to do that.
And you can see it even in the lineup in the Wings roster where these guys are from. It's definitely a
oh, it's all over the
thing.
Yeah, it's not just we're not just picking players from, you know, Minnesota or, you know, Massachusetts or, you know, wherever. We're picking guys up all over the world. Sweden, you know, Finland, that's Russia, all over. It's incredible. There's talent everywhere. And like you said, you know, being true ambassadors of the sport, growing the game, you know, as much as you can. And you see that now represented all over at every level of hockey.
You know, I like after the game, Ovechkin, he was like, yeah, thanks, Sorokin, for letting me score. I thought that was pretty good.
That was really funny. And what's great is before he allowed that goal to Ovechkin, Ovechkin had never scored against
Sorokin
before. Not once.
Wow.
So the thank you was definitely a genuine thank you, but it was definitely a funny moment there. I chuckled a little bit when I saw that.
Now, I know you're a big Minnesota Wild fan, and we were talking, I remember, before the season started. You were kind of iffy coming into this year. They kind of struggled last year, but they've been a playoff team the last couple of years, and then last year it didn't look good. This year it looks a lot better. They got the players.
They have the players. The big thing is this year, and it's the same thing that the Wings dealt with, is massive injuries to star players on the roster. Kirill Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson-Ek been out with long-term injuries for a long time, still hoping that they can play a game or two before the regular season ends, but that's still very iffy. The Wild beating the Stars yesterday in overtime, snapping their four-game skid here, hoping to get a little positive momentum before the playoffs.
That was a great pass from Zouk on the game.
Yeah, it was. Zuccarello has been one of my favorite Wild players since he's stepped foot on the Minnesota roster.
I'm a New York Rangers fan. He was one of my favorite players. And when he went to the Wild, I started liking the Wild just because he was on the team. He's awesome.
He is absolutely one of my favorites. Just the way that he plays the game, his style. I love him. And it was a fantastic play by him. Hopefully this can spark the Wild a little bit with some positive momentum going into the playoffs here, because they've had a rough stretch here in the second half. Losing Kaprizov and Eriksson-Ek to those injuries have really, really hurt the team, and they've slid down in the standings as a result, all the way down in the second wild card spot now. And if the playoffs did end today, they would unfortunately face the Winnipeg Jets in the first round, the best team throughout the league this year, and we haven't had very many good playoff series in our past against the Jets. So
in general, right?
In general, yes. It just hasn't been good the past couple of years in terms of our first round exits. We just seem to run into a buzzsaw no matter which team it is in the Central Division, and we just don't have any luck.
Well, the good news is the schedule doesn't look too bad. You got the Sharks, Flames, Canucks, and Ducks to wrap up the season. Obviously, Flames are all right.
The Flames in the middle of a playoff chase. They have a couple more games in hand on the Wild here, and they do play on Friday, so that could potentially be for a playoff berth on the line coming up here. Big, important games for the Wild.
Yeah, they got to take care of business against the Sharks. That's the big one. You can't be losing games here late in April to the Sharks.
San Jose is a team you absolutely have to beat.
All right, Si, so one more here, or a couple more here before we get you out of here. College hockey, Frozen Four, we were talking, I don't know when it was, we're like, hey, where's the Frozen Four at this year? Is it in the cities, or is it at St. Paul? No, it's in St. Louis. And I looked it up before the show. Denver has been in 19 Frozen Fours. I mean, it's like death taxes, and there you go. Denver's making the Frozen Four.
Yeah, as a University of North Dakota hockey fan, definitely not a big supporter of the University of Denver, especially the fact that they've won three national championships since we've last won ours in 2016. Denver's been on a tear the past few years. They won a title in 17, 22, and now 24. So the defending national champs back into the Frozen Four again. They're gonna have a very tough matchup, though. Western Michigan has been one of the better teams throughout college hockey this year. They've had one of the better offenses also in all of college hockey. And these two teams actually played in their conference championship game a few weeks ago. Denver had a 3-0 lead, and Western came all the way back, winning 4-3 in double overtime.
Wow.
So these two teams have a little bit of history, splitting their only regular season meeting in Kalamazoo, Michigan, earlier this season. So a lot on the line for these two programs. Denver obviously looking to go back-to-back with national championships. Western looking for their first. So they're just looking to add a big trophy to their trophy case here, and that'd be absolutely huge for their program. Penn State making their first ever Frozen Four.
They got a chance or what?
BU is really, really good. Yeah, I watched a little bit of the series that UND played against them earlier this year. They split in Grand Forks. Boston has a very good team. BU is very good. But if Penn State can stick to their game the way that they played in the regionals, they have a shot. But for your first ever Frozen Four going against one of the powerhouses in all of college hockey, BU with five national championships, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but it'll be competitive. It'll be really, really fun to watch both these games.
As a novice fan, my instant shock was, well, UND, right? Well, I obviously haven't been keeping track. When you look at these four teams, are these four teams probably the teams that were going to be there at the start of the season, kind of everybody predicted to be there, or is there kind of one that's a Cinderella, if you will?
I would say definitely Penn State.
Yep.
It was probably the Cinderella out of the four, considering they were, I believe, a four seed in their regional, but with the NCAA's hosting process with regionals, Penn State was able to bid and host the regional.
Yeah, because they lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship.
Correct.
In overtime.
Correct. Luckily, they had a good enough record to make the NCAA tournament as an at-large team with the pairwise system. They're ranking teams. They were good enough to get an at-large bid, and with the process of hosting, they put a bid in. They were able to host, and a lot of Penn State fans there at that regional, they were able to use the home ice crowd to their advantage. Allentown, absolutely.
Yep.
And, they were able to roll through that regional. And, hopefully Penn State fans can show up in St. Louis. hopefully it's not that far of a flight or a drive for them, but.
Need a lot of them.
Need a lot of them. It's Cinderosaur is definitely with Penn State. Western has been one of the more consistent teams throughout the year. I don't know if a lot of people predicted Denver to make it this year. They think a lot of people are kind of expecting them to have a down year, but their coach, David Carlisle, who's been with that program for a long, long time, I believe now he has three titles. I believe he won that title back in 17. I know he has the 22 and 24 titles as well, but he's going to get some NHL offers for a head coach.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Penn State, they started 0-9 and then went on an amazing Cinderella run. So I think to answer Ryan's question, it is probably Penn State. But final one here before we get you out of here, Cy, who's kind of your favorite in this? Is it Boston? Is it Denver? Is it I kind of like Western Michigan from hearing you.
To be honest with you, I think the winner of the Denver-Western Michigan game, I think, is going to take it. BU's very good. Penn State has the momentum. I think they're running into a little bit of a buzzsaw with BU, personally. I'm rooting for Penn State. I want to see chaos. I do. But I personally think Penn State's running to a little bit of a buzzsaw with BU. I think they're just playing good hockey at the right time. Denver-Western Michigan is going to be an absolute brawl of a game, just considering their conference opponents. They know each other extremely well. All the games this year have been extremely competitive. Denver's going to have a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth losing that conference championship game, blowing that 3-goal lead. I think the winner of that game is going to take it. And again, as much as I am not a Denver fan, I like Denver's experience, their talent on the team, a first-round pick with Zeev Beam, a first-round Minnesota Wild draft pick, leading the defense there. I really do think talent and their head coaching experience with David Carlisle is going to take it.
Well, that's later on this week in St. Louis, April 10th to the 12th. Looking forward to that. I might have to really tune in for that for sure.
It's going to be a couple exciting games. Any hockey fans out there, seriously, you got nothing to do on the Thursday night, or this coming Thursday night. Both games, 5:30 and 8 are the start times there. Going to be a couple of great games there in St. Louis.
Well, Cy, thanks a lot for doing this, man. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. I'm glad to have joined you guys this morning. Had a blast here on this Monday morning. Thanks for allowing me to join you, Ryan and the Cobra, here in the Snake Pit.
We'll step aside here on the Sports Hub. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Minnesota Twins are back in action. Big week for them. They got a couple series in division. We're talking about it next here on FSA. Big thanks to Eagle Eye Cy joining us in studio here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online at HubCityRadio.com. Ryan, do you feel like you learned something about hockey today?
I did. And you definitely sense the passion coming out of Cy.
Yeah.
The Aberdeen Wings and just a hockey fan as a whole.
Yeah, and big one for the Wings here this week. Of course, going to be scoreboard watching on Thursday, but North Iowa Bulls here this weekend wrapping up the regular season, and hopefully the Wings are punching their ticket to the playoffs here in the not-too-distant future. Talked a little Wild, big Wild fan, as well as Frozen Four, and looking forward to seeing how all that shakes out this weekend here, and we'll see how it all goes. But let's transition to some baseball real quick. Northern State baseball, they fell in four games versus St. Cloud. They played really well on Saturday, lost 8-7, a go-ahead walk-off in the eighth inning there Saturday in the first game, 6-3, and then they just didn't play well.
Walk-off bomb, right?
Yeah. It's just a tough way to that's got to be like the one of the worst ways to end a game, right?
For sure. I'm standing on third base. I might say something. I don't know. As he comes around the base, I don't know. That's a tough one to lay off there, man.
Yeah, 8-7 and 6-3, and then they just didn't play well in the two other games of St. Cloud, 11-4 and 13-2. And you talk a lot about, you know, pitching and how key that can be. It feels like teams are successful, especially here in the Midwest. And if you got some arms, you can really go far. Is
and
that fair?
What I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing with the Northern, just a little bit more consistency on the mound, right? And that's not just to point out Northern. That's baseball, right?
Yeah.
Got to limit errors, got to limit walks, got to be able to throw strikes. And in the NSIC, these kids are tough. I mean, you got to be able to work the zone, stay, keep your pitch count down, or else you're getting into the bullpen. I know that's they got big rosters, but you still want your starter to go deep into the game. Just kind of sets everything up, and if the starter can't bring you 2, 3, 4 innings, it gets tough after that.
Minnesota Twins, they fell yesterday 9-7. We're ahead 7-1, and then the wheels came off, if you will, as Jose Altuve got the game-winning hit, or go-ahead hit, in the top of the 10th inning. They tied it in the 9th, and just a tough one there for the Twins, and this is a big week for them coming up. Looking at their schedule, you got 4 with the Royals starting tonight. Simeon Woodruff Richardson on the mound versus Lorenzen for Kansas City. And then after that, you're back home. You play Detroit, and you're saying, Matt, why is it a big series? It's April. What are you talking about? You got to win your division games. These are the difference between first and fourth place. You got it when you're playing teams like the White Sox, the Guardians, the Royals, the Tigers. If you don't win those games, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and those are hard games to win too, right?
If we have
familiarity with each other. And this time of year, it's always weird. You see middle relievers get exposed, right? Every team that doesn't have somebody that can come in, everybody's got starters, everybody's got closer, right? Who has somebody that can come in 4, 5, 6, 7 inning and seventh inning and deliver?
You know? Well, today's baseball, too. One more before we wrap up. In today's baseball, you're not getting the seventh inning starter much anymore.
Right.
Because of the pitch count.
Right.
The guys are pulling their pitchers with 80 pitches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to point out. 6:40 first pitch tonight on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Ryan, thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, appreciate you.